Let us pray. Almighty God, who through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, overcame death and opened to us the gates of everlasting life, grant that we who celebrate with joy the day of the Lord's resurrection may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Holy Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
The news this past week was saturated with the burning of Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. Indeed, you couldn't go very far without hearing or seeing the devastation of the church burning and collapsing in on itself. It was on television. It was on social media. It was plastered all over the internet. This event really has shaken people up all over the world, especially Christians. Notre Dame Cathedral is 800 years old, and it took 2 centuries to build. It's a beautiful work of art. It's a beautiful house of worship, and the rose window alone is an eye-opener. But the cathedral isn't just a symbol for Christianity in Europe. It is also a symbol for the nation of France as well. At one time in its history, the state of the cathedral was so bad, it was close to being torn down. And it was spared by a most unlikely savior, a short little man by the name of Napoleon, who was crowned emperor within the church. So you can imagine then how seeing these images this week strongly affected so many, many people. Yet in the shock of this, in the all of this fire, there was hope. The resounding cry was that the church would be rebuilt. Fundraising efforts are currently underway. It will take several years, but Notre Dame Cathedral will be made new. And this is a powerful illustration of death and resurrection for us during Holy Week. No matter how bad things may appear, no matter how bad things may seem, God raises what is dead. Amen?
Amen.
Christianity is about the hope of new creation in Christ alone. For our Redeemer lives. Jesus is not buried in a tomb in Israel. He is not ashes and dust in a grave. He is risen. He is alive. His heart beats. It beats to the rhythm of new creation that has already broken into our world. And because Jesus' heart beats, countless heartbeats across this planet for 2,000 years have beaten to a different rhythm. Heartbeats of grief have been transformed to heartbeats of joy. Heartbeats of doubt have been transformed to heartbeats of faith. Heartbeats of fear have been transformed to heartbeats of hope. Heartbeats of hatred have been transformed to heartbeats of love. So it shouldn't surprise us then that the Easter story is all about heartbeats. Heartbeats that have been changed. Heartbeats that have been made new. All because his heart beats. This morning, let us again hear the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ alone. He makes all things new, you and me and everything, because his heart beats. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. This is the gospel truth. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at Luke 24, verse 1, found on page 635. The first heartbeat of the Easter story we come across is the heartbeat of grief. Having seen Jesus' burial, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, another Mary, and several others come to the tomb bringing spices that they had prepared. You see, these women loved Jesus. They adored him. And so they come early on Easter morning in grief and in mourning. The stressful reality of Jesus' death on the cross has struck them to the very core. Their hearts are heartbroken. And broken heart syndrome caused by grief can do some serious stuff to you. It can alter your pulse rate. the suffering and loss can thicken your very blood, and stress hormones can be triggered and released into your bloodstream. This is the heartbeat of loss. This is the heartbeat of grief. Yes, these women come to the tomb with the heartbeats of grief. They were eyewitnesses of the burial of Jesus. They were there when the tomb was sealed with the stone. And the finality of death with the tomb being sealed was a powerful symbol that no doubt left an imprint on their imaginations. Jesus was dead and gone. Or so they thought. They come early in the morning, most likely because they haven't had much sleep to begin with. Grief will do that to you, don't you know? On Saturday, the Sabbath day, the women rested in accordance with the Jewish law. Yet what kind of rest do you think they actually had? Anyone who has suffered losing a loved one knows there's no such thing as true rest, especially so soon after the loss. Their rest on Saturday and Saturday night was most likely a restless one. But still they come. Still they come on Sunday morning, brokenhearted, expecting to see the stone. And what do they find? They become eyewitnesses of the empty tomb. The stone has been rolled aside, and so they enter the open sepulcher. Their grieving hearts, not knowing what to expect, not knowing what to find. And they hear the good news proclaimed by the angels. He is not here. He is risen from the dead. Amen?
Amen.
The church father Cyril of Jerusalem comments, since angels appeared at Jesus' birth, so also they now appear at his resurrection. Jesus is not in the tomb because he is life. The women are not to seek death among the one who ever lives. You see, there was another heartbeat on Easter morning. The heartbeat of new creation breaking into our world. The very heartbeat of Jesus Christ. He is not here. He is risen from the dead. In other words, Jesus' heart beats. Hallelujah! The Lord is risen. Hallelujah! The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah!
Let's ponder this for a second, shall we? Jesus died on a Roman cross. He breathed his last breath after he said, "It is finished." His heart literally stopped beating. Now, I'm not a medical doctor, but I believe that the time of death is usually called when the heart stops beating. And when the heart no longer pumps blood throughout the body, the blood flow stops. The blood then lingers and collects in pools in certain areas of the body. The body begins to change color. The temperature of the body begins to drop. Rigor mortis sets in, stiffening the muscles of the body, and eventually the body begins to stink as odors are released. All of this is to emphasize the good news that the angels proclaim. He is not here. He is risen. His heart beats. This dead heart in a dead body began to pump blood. Boom! Like a trumpet. Ba-boom! 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 Jesus took breath into his lungs, the first breath of new creation. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, where is your victory? Jesus woke up to God's new day, and everything has changed because his heart beats to the rhythm of new creation. For Jesus wakes what is dead. He breathes life into what is old. And that includes you and me and everything. Behold, he makes all things new. And why? Because his heart beats. But notice how quickly heartbeats of grief turn to heartbeats of shock. The women see the empty tomb. They hear the angel sing something miraculous. He is not here. He is risen. But perhaps the most shocking revelation this first Easter morning for them is that this was all part of God's divine, mysterious plan. The angels plainly state, remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would be raised up again on the third day. You see, the empty tomb and the resurrection of Jesus caught these women off guard. But when the angels proclaimed the divine plan, the women remember, they recall the words of Jesus before. And so they go running to tell the apostles and the rest of the disciples. Now imagine for a second their heartbeats as they go running. They have moved from grief to bewilderment. And the news they bring is absolutely shocking. Dead men do not rise from the grave, but Jesus is risen. This sounded like utter nonsense to the followers of Jesus. They didn't buy it at all. You see, at first, the church didn't even believe the resurrection. They were skeptics, but the wisdom of God seems like foolishness to human beings. Amen?
Amen.
Yet despite their skepticism, Peter hears the testimony of these women. And he jumps up and he runs to the tomb to take a look. And he stoops inside. And he doesn't see angels. He only sees the empty linen wrappings that once surrounded Jesus' dead body. Imagine Peter's heartbeat as he walks away from that tomb. He has heard the testimony of the women. And now he has seen the empty tomb with his very own eyes. Could Jesus be alive? Like the women, Peter has the heartbeat of shock, the heartbeat of awe. What could this all mean? My friends, the human heart beats about 100,000 times a day. And although people have the physical signs of life, the heartbeat of new creation is lacking in most people. But we must not buy into the lie that this life is all there is. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, is actually a very bad motto to live by. Nor can we buy into the lie that eternal life starts when we die, somewhere off in the future. That is utterly false. Eternal life begins right now in this life. Amen? You don't seem happy about that. Amen?
Amen.
Because Jesus' heart beats through faith, you and I have been given a new heart. A new heart that beats to the very rhythm of new creation. Ba-boom! 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 This new heartbeat is already, it's right here. It's right now in this life. We have been spiritually reborn because of the power of the resurrection and the life-giving Holy Spirit. And we have union with the one who is life himself. Because his heart beats, so do ours. This cannot be undone. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. But what does this already heartbeat of new creation look like in real life, in real time? Simply put, it's a life that looks like the Lord Jesus. It's a life that beats for the glory of God. It's a life that beats for the sake of others. Does your heart beat for these things? If so, praise God, for the life of new creation dwells within you. Ba-boom, ba-boom. Ba-boom. If not, then do not delay. Turn from your ways and put your faith in the Lord Jesus, who died for you and who also rose again for you. Put me to the test and see if what I am saying is true. I promise, I guarantee you will know the heartbeat of new creation if you but ask. And you will never be the same again. In this life, you will already be beating to a different rhythm. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. You will have a different kind of heartbeat. But even though our lives already beat to the rhythm of new creation. For those of us who have put our faith, our hope, and our love in the Lord Jesus, our bodies will expire and decay one day. I was not surprised by the great emotions we saw this past week with the burning of the Notre Dame Cathedral. But what I continue to be surprised again and again is by the lack of deep emotions when one of God's saints passes away. To me, the passing away of one of God's people should be a way bigger deal than what it is. For you and I are God's house in which he dwells. But though we grieve with the passing of a saint, we do not grieve without hope. For the divine plan has always been about resurrection. And not just for the Lord Jesus, who is the firstborn of the dead, but for us as well. The first law of thermodynamics says that no mass or energy is ever destroyed, but that it merely changes form. When a piece of wood is burned, it is not gone. Some of it becomes heat, some of it deteriorates into ashes, but it is not destroyed, it simply changes. When a lake dries up, the water is gone. It has evaporated into the air, only to fall to the earth again in the future. When our bodies die, we go to be with the Lord. But the hope of Christianity is the resurrection of the dead. Amen?
Amen.
Where we are given new bodies to reign and rule with the Lord Jesus forever, and a new heaven and a new earth. And the resurrection is not just some New Testament reality. It's not just some New Testament thing. It was clearly prophesied about in the Old Testament as well. In Isaiah 26:19, the prophet says this: "Your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. You will dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy. For your dew is a dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead." But wait, that's not all. Daniel, another Old Testament prophet, also comments on the resurrection to come. In Daniel 12:2, he states, "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." In other words, we serve the God of the living who gives life to that which is dead. And the Lord Jesus Christ shall raise us up on the last day. You know, Jesus raised his good friend Lazarus from the dead in this life. Jesus called Lazarus forth from the grave after he was dead for 4 days. And in the Jewish mindset, the soul departs at day three. So it's been 4 days. So what's the big point that John wants us to grasp? Jesus has the power to put the soul back into a raised body. This is why in John 11, he is the resurrection and the life. He is the one who has the power to put the soul back in a raised body. Amen?
Amen.
But Jesus shall do greater things still. You and I and everyone will rise up in the end. Some to everlasting life. Some to eternal death. But all shall rise. All shall rise. Yet those of us who have spiritually been born anew in this new life, who have already received the heartbeat of new creation, will then receive our resurrection bodies. And I'm told they're quite glorious.
Yeah.
What will our resurrection bodies be like? They'll be like the resurrection body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he could do some marvelous, wondrous things in that body. You see, the spiritual heartbeat of new creation comes first, though, in this life. And the physical heartbeat of our resurrection bodies is ahead, in the new world to come. But whether now with our spiritual heartbeats or then with our physical heartbeats, new life is only possible through the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And why? Because of this. He is risen. He has conquered death and the grave. My friends, a lot of people will attend church today across this country. And then they will not set foot in a church again until either Christmas or this time next year at Easter. And part of this, I believe, is because people don't understand the fullness of the gospel, this good news concerning Jesus Christ and his eternal kingdom. You see, the resurrection of Jesus has changed everything already. His heart beats, and now our hearts burn for him and for this world that sorely needs to know him and the eternal life that he gives. The other part is because I don't believe people understand the importance of the local church. Do you? Do you understand the importance of the local church? The heartbeats within the church reveal the kingdom of God to this world. For King Jesus not only lives, he also reigns. He's on the throne. And we, you and I, are his ambassadors to this world. You know, a lot of people's lives resemble what we saw this week with the cathedral burning. People's lives are burning up. They're falling apart. Their lives are collapsing before their very eyes. They are dealing with anxiety and depression. They are dealing with loneliness. They are struggling financially. And the list goes on and on and on. And there's a lot of recent stats that even among the millennial generation, most of them don't know any Christians. Not one in their life. People's lives are burning all around us. And we need to be there for them. And we need to proclaim the hope that is ours in Christ alone. And the heartbeat of the local church is to point beyond itself, my friends. We don't exist to serve ourselves. We're not an inward-focused people. We're outward-focused. We're for the sake of others and for the glory of God. We're to point to the King and to his unshakable kingdom. That no matter what the mess of our lives looks like, there is rebirth. There is renewal. There is hope and resurrection. And this new heartbeat is not found in fame or wealth or power. It's found in Christ Jesus alone. The one who ever lives. The one who pummeled death. If you want to find the heartbeat of new creation in this life, you will only find it among God's people. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. And because Jesus' heart beats and the life of new creation beats within his people right here, right now, heartbeats of grief and mourning are being transformed all over the place. They are being reborn to a living hope. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. Heartbeats of shock and skepticism are now beating to a different rhythm. The rhythm of new creation life that Jesus brings, that only he can bring. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. My friends, how will this world know that Jesus lives and reigns? How will it see the life of the world to come right now, right here in this life? By our very heartbeats. Let us pray. O God of the angel armies, who for our redemption gave your only begotten Son to die upon the cross, and by his glorious resurrection delivered us from the power of death and the devil, grant us the grace to daily die to our sin, that we may live with him in the joy of his resurrection, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.